B-Pod Studios.
And off Jaylen Brown. Pretty good looking at right side three. Got it.
This is Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown driving.
The Celtics play here. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Why you ain't coming up now?
It's TNR on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I had no idea they could do that.
Well, there you go.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
The Patriots, I mean, they obviously, they got a... It's the greatest organization, and you know, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years, and for Coach Belichick, I mean, there's, you know, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me, just being with them. So I'm very blessed, and I don't know what the future looks like, so, and I'm not going to predict it. So wish we'd done a lot of things better over the course of the season, but we just didn't get the job done.
.985 the Sports of, well, that is a quick bet. They don't give you much time there.
Mm-mm.
David, what do you think about that? I mean, that is too short.
Thanks.
Well, I don't know why you would say thank you to that. Ted Johnson is brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. Do what Ted did and receive a short course of injections to help repair painful damaged joints without surgery. Online at bostonprolotherapy.com. Ted Johnson, now... He did the post game, pre and post for the Tennessee game, and what did you see? Did you see a tired team, a old team, a team that's played a lot of football over the last few years? I mean, it looked at one point it was like how many times can they give the ball to Derrick Henry before his legs fall off?
Right.
You know, there was a point where I'm like, you could give it to him 50 times. But I would take it they wouldn't want to do that. But, I mean, he was that
close
effective.
To it. Yeah.
So, what did you see from that angle?
Yeah, 34 rushing attempts, 40 overall for the Tennessee Titans. And they, you know, it was interesting. I thought maybe that the Tennessee Titans would do what a lot of teams have done throughout the course of the year is lose patience with the running game and stop running. Eventually, just kind of wear down for all the run calls because usually the Patriots kind of make it, you know, a game in which offensive coordinators for the opposing team feel like they have to start chucking it more. But Vrabel didn't do that. Two, and it was the right decision.
Yeah.
You look at that game, and I sit there, and my first thought in that post game was to almost go back to the week before. I had a very difficult time letting go of the Miami game.
Oh, you should. I mean, I think about it. You should have never lost at home to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
So I'm sitting there talking about the Tennessee game and how, you know, how they just got kicked into their teeth.
Yeah.
But I just could not get over the fact that they lost the Miami game. So it was a very difficult thing for me to kind of shake. But, I looked at that Patriots game against Tennessee, Freddie, to answer your question. And it just looked like the defense in particular – weren't nearly as good as we thought. I mean, they were, let's face it. We were talking about them being an all-time great and maybe being the better team defense than that 04 team. That's not the case when you get up 320 yards the week before passing. You can't stop, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick on the final drive to win the game. And then to get run on like you did, well, you know, they only gave him 14 points, but it was a demoralizing way to give up 14 points. That first drive, they just went down and shoved it down their throat. Just the way they were run on gave the offense for the Patriots less possessions, less opportunity for them to score. And so it was a demoralizing way to lose. And I've always kind of been a little bit surprised by Bill's, you know, attitude towards the run defense. When I was playing, it was maybe a different era, more of an emphasis on the running game. And so we cared more about stopping the run. I just feel like sometimes Bill has a more of a casual kind of approach to stopping the run, which is interesting because the two teams, you know, that, you know, really – you know, put it to you, I mean, beat you in the Baltimore Ravens and the Tennessee Titans by running the football. And it's funny because if you look at Bill Belichick's strategy last year, at least they were trying to get it going this year on offense, was to, hey, let's just run on teams with a fullback. They're not equipped to stop what we're doing because all these defenses now have gone smaller, faster. It's a space game. And then he gets beat, you know, that way with those two teams. So, You know, it was, I thought, one of the more disappointing seasons. I've been gone the last 8 years. I moved back last year. But as far as just kind of what expectations were.
Well, you were saying 19-0.
I was. Freddie, I was after week two. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting after week two. I'm like, my gosh.
This was a different team. So, offensively, too, it was a different team.
It was a different team. But even, let's go back to, you know, weeks 9 and 10. I mean, this team was undefeated, and the defense was elite, and the offense was just doing enough And then the AFC competition, maybe, you know, the Chiefs weren't doing as good, the Texans weren't doing as good.
Yeah.
And so there was, I mean, you're only going back a month and a half ago where you thought this team is going, you know, going all the way, and who's going to beat them in the AFC? And so Baltimore beat them, and then you're like, okay, now we got a legit contender in Baltimore. But I'm kind of shocked to see where we are at this point, considering where they were after week 16. My feeling was after week 16 against Buffalo, I was like, this is the best I felt about this team.
Yeah.
It was week 16. And then you lose the last two games like you did. You know, and once they lost to Miami, it was just, you hear all the guys say, oh, hey, well, we're still in it. Hey, yeah. Hey, well, at least we got a ticket to the dance. Please. Yeah. They all knew. That whole locker room knew, like, man, we blew it.
Against
that Dolphins team.
And so, you know, watching that last game and the numbers that you see Derrick Henry that he was able to get and how much they gave up in the run game, I still thought that if you only give up 14 points to that amazing offense that they've got over there that Vrabel's been able to put together and what Tannehill's been able to do lately.
Not even 80 yards passing.
Yeah,
right?
Like, I mean, I thought that was a win for the Patriots defense, despite the numbers they gave up. But you look at what Tom Brady and the offense did. I mean, just to be held that way in the second half and have nothing. And it gets me thinking, if you're another team and you're looking at Tom Brady to potentially sign him, how are they viewing him? Like, is there, because we now know he was playing with the tennis elbow and also there was a foot injury. I think his toe is what they're saying. I know everyone's banged up. I understand that.
But my favorite thing is, though, Rich, is the minute the season's over, I want all my injuries out there.
Oh, of course.
I want everybody to know exactly what I was dealing with the second the season's over.
Because you're not allowed to say a word as a Patriot,
right?
Yep.
And you want everybody to know kind of what you've been dealing with.
And so
how are teams looking at Tom?
Yeah, how are they looking at Tom? Because it's a weird season to judge. The way that they went out was bad, but there's the whole narrative that Fred and I have debated as far as to how good his weapons were this season, you know, how old he is, how beat up he was. Like, what are you looking at how are you looking at Tom Brady if you want to sign him? Are you thinking about possibly signing
him? Yeah, if I'm signing Tom, there's one question I'm asking him, and this is the question I have to know. And even if I was the Patriots, I would want to know this question. And a lot of people are going to go, oh, really, Teddy? He's been in the league forever. How committed are you? I mean, are you going to be here from the very, very beginning?
It's not a bad question because over the past couple of years, he has skipped those off-season workouts, and it worked out for him when they won the Super Bowl. And this year, we heard so much about a lack of chemistry with his receivers, and you have to put some of the blame on him.
Yeah, to some degree, you do. To some degree, you do. And I think it's mostly personnel. And I said this in the post game that this past game was lost back in April. It was. I mean, really. I mean, the work that they did not do in April finally caught up to them in this game, you know, in early January, and because of the personnel. But it partly is because you can say, well, Tom doesn't need OTAs. You know what? But everyone else does. Yeah. Everyone needs their
time
quarterback.
With Tom. Right.
Right there. If Tom's not there and he's not committed and he's not showing that he's all in, there's going to be a disconnect. You have a 22-year-old first-round rookie wide receiver playing with a guy who's as accomplished, you know, everything in this league, and Tom Brady, who's 42 years old. There's a huge divide as far as just, you know, kind of relatability and accomplishment and what one guy thinks he needs to do versus the other guy. You have to feel like you're doing this together. We're all in this together. When I won my early I was fortunate enough to be on these early championship teams, we were all kind of first-timers. We all wanted to achieve something together, and we all worked together. And nobody was taking off OTAs. We were all kind of, you know, pulling.
You're a gang, right?
We're a gang, right? Yeah. And so if Tom's got one agenda and the other guys have another agenda, you're never going to be able, to get to where you want to go. And so if I'm a team looking at Tom, I'd want to know, are you going to be here from day one? Are you going to kind of, you know, look at it as if you were a rookie back in 2000 when he joined the Patriots? If you're committed like that from the very, very beginning, I'll give you $32 million a year for the next 2 years, Tom. And in your name, and if you're all in, and you sell out to the, you know, everybody knows that you are invested from day one. But if you're showing up at camp, at mini camp in June for your first mandatory mini camp, it's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. And I just can't. We couldn't justify paying you all that money if you're going to come in then, because the continuity is going to be. It's not going to be there.
Yeah,
it's just not going to be there.
So OTAs, is it more? It's more of a teamwork kind of situation than it is in terms of preparing for the season. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know what it is, Freddie. It's like, you know, it'd be kind of like if somebody comes in halfway through the process, it just doesn't feel like we're all together in this thing.
Okay,
I know it sounds weird, but football's kind of that way. You just got to feel like everybody's putting the same amount of work in. Mm-hmm. We're all in this together. And, you know, Tom's been so successful, and he's so good, and he's so much older than everybody else. It's probably weird him just kind of coming in later in the process.
So if he comes in earlier, you demystify him in a way.
Completely.
Okay.
He seems like more like he's just one of the guys.
All right.
And then he wants the exact same thing we do.
Okay.
And that's how you work. That's how it works.
Well, that's one of the things that made him great for so long. Everyone said that he was able to be, you know, Belichick was able to rip on him just like he was everyone else.
But we'll get to that, because it goes along with Ted Johnson's narrative about Rob Gronkowski, is that perhaps trading Brady like everyone else, it might be a reason that he wants to leave. We'll talk to him about that. We will be right back.
Thatcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. It's been decided Huey Lewis in the news. Bad band. Bad.
Why?
Why? This.
Okay.
their music.
I disagree. I don't know. For what they were back in the time, I mean, back in the day, they were fine.
Well, fine isn't good.
Let's say that you just happen to be staying at a hotel.
Out today.
Of course. There's a lot of stuff if it came out. Wise Man Has the Power is kind of the jam, but if it came out today, you'd be like, this is weird.
Well, Doobie Brothers.
Wise Man Has the Power! If that comes on, you're like, all right.
Well, that's like Michael Bolton, though. But, like.
That's not Michael Bolton. It's Michael Bolton.
No, I understand what it is, but I'm saying if that came out, it wouldn't sound exceptionally dated. Especially Shine Sweet Freedom.
Because you would just immediately think of the Running Scared video.
Oh, yeah. But Huey Lewis in the News, I've been thinking about this. They were a
good
really bad band.
Disagree.
For Running Scared.
I think so. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Heart and Soul is a good song. If This Is It, it's a pretty good song.
I'll give you when he says Heart and Soul, it's good. But what immediately follows that musically?
So.
No, that's 2 pounds.
I know.
Which is a great song.
Like, where are you going?
He goes, it's hard and so.
She got it all hot loving every night.
Yeah, they're not a good
Do You Believe in Love's a good song?
Yeah. Oh, give me a break. That's a doo-wop song.
Do you believe
Working for a living? You didn't like that?
Yeah, John, I love it.
You didn't like it? Come on.
I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
For what it was like 80s pop, bubblegum cheese.
That's all it was supposed to be.
And for that, it's fine, you know?
I didn't say it's ever kill anyone.
No, you just said they weren't a good band.
No, they're a terrible band.
And I would say that they've written some extremely hooky songs that you don't mind when they're on.
Well, the guy who wrote Take This Job and Shove It, which Working for a Living.
Johnny Paycheck.
Johnny Paycheck killed a guy or shot a guy. You should watch the Mike Judge thing on him.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Paycheck, very into alcohol and drugs and shooting people. Ted Johnson in studio. Now, as is Billy Joe Shaver and a bunch of those guys. All right, so Ted Johnson, we've talked about this in regards to Rob Gronkowski. Your belief is perhaps if Rob Gronkowski was playing for another team, he would not have retired. Now, there are some executives... there was something in The Athletic where they had talked to executives, and there were some executives that were saying that as you get older and you've accomplished all these things and money's not really a factor, and they mentioned guys in other sports, that lifestyle becomes more important to you. and that perhaps Brady's just sick of it now. We talked about OTAs. We talked about Belichick treating Brady like everyone else. And maybe at, you know, what it would be, 43, maybe you don't want to be treated like everyone else. Maybe you want to be treated like a...
like you're the greatest of all time?
Yeah, maybe that, you know, could cross your mind.
Yeah.
So what is your feeling on that? Do you think that his decision might be predicated on a, more of a lifestyle choice than it would be, you know, sticking and retiring in a Patriots uniform?
That very well could be. That very well could be. If he really wants to play, continue to play. And I wonder if, you know, I've always wondered, like, why does, what is, does he not have a fallback plan? Like, you always wonder, like, what is it that he's so afraid of to maybe step down? I mean, I think part of it is probably he just feels like, you know, let's face it. With all due respect, he doesn't get hit a lot, right? It's not like you're hitting in practice. It's not like the most physically demanding position in football. And the offense is, the rules are more geared to protecting the quarterback now more than ever. So I'm not sure it takes a physical toll as much. It's just a mental drain and drip. And I could see there's a part of me that could probably see Tom going, I want to go play somewhere where it's just a little bit more of a relaxed working environment. It is an intense, can be dreary, can be just a very thankless kind of working environment playing at Gillette for Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And maybe I could see him like, let's go somewhere. It's a fun city where the expectations aren't maybe as intense. They're still going to pay me 30. I'm going to still get paid what I want to get paid and what I feel like I deserve to get paid. Where it's a working environment, it's maybe a little bit more relaxed. I can see guys wanting to experience that maybe once in their careers. That's why a lot of guys, I think, who are very accomplished star players from other teams who are they're used to getting their asses kissed and treated differently with preferential treatment. They come here and they see that they're just like everybody else,
yeah,
and they can't handle it. Well, maybe it'd be the reverse kind of effect for Tom going somewhere. I can see him wanting to feel that.
I also think, Ted, that I don't know if he's looking at the Patriots, if they can give him what he wants. Because for years he's been like, I mean, I need guys I can throw to. I need a good offensive line. Mm-hmm. And so now I just don't know that the way they're structured and the way that the guys that they have in the shoot, whether – things are going to be any better next year if he comes back than it is this year.
I agree.
So he's probably looking at a team like the Tennessee Titans, and that to me is one of the more interesting landing spots that he could potentially be. Obviously friends with Mike Vrabel, but I mean, we talked about this yesterday to the fact that what are your two dreams? Like, if you're a 43-year-old quarterback, what are the two things that you probably value more than anything on a team? A good offensive line, which they have, and an intense running game that mm-hmm. can take a lot of the burden off of you.
No question.
And boy, do they have that in Tennessee.
Yep.
How bad did you think the Patriots' offensive line was, though, at the end of the year?
It got better.
Yeah.
It got better.
Everyone says for two-thirds of the season it was bad.
But we don't know if Joe Tooney's going to stay.
No, we don't.
He's owed a lot of money.
I mean, they started being able to run the ball at the end of the season.
But in the end...
First and 10 says differently.
Considering
the one-yard line.
Considering the salary cap problems, you probably can't bring both Brady and Tooney back.
Right.
Tooney's going to make a lot of money this offseason.
And you also wonder if Scar's going to... I mean, Scar will be 72 years old next year, and you wonder if Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach, who's been obviously a pillar at this organization and been the best offensive line coach since Alex Gibbs. I don't know if he's going to be able to want to coach anymore, you know? But your point is well taken. Like you go to Tennessee, but part of me is like, if I'm Tom, I'm like, yes, the personnel is going to be a big part of it. But he also, I think is important for Tom is that you go where, you know, you have a competent coach. There are a lot of incompetent coaches out there in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's going to be on the level of Bill Belichick. But and I was reluctant to maybe say Tom would go to Tennessee. Let's just have fun with maybe the idea of him going to Tennessee, because I think it would be fascinating to see him go play somewhere else. Please, Tom, for storylines and team content, please go somewhere else.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we're not only going to, in this market, we're not only going to be following the Patriots with the fervor that we always have. We're going to be following the team that Tom goes to as well.
Well, it will always be who's going to do better. Oh. Who's doing better every week, Belichick or Brady?
Wouldn't that be fascinating?
You got to hope that Brady leaves.
Please,
for the storyline.
Well, Tom, go somewhere else.
As a Patriots fan, you should almost kind of, I don't want to say root for that, because, you know, obviously people love Tom Brady, But I just don't know if you bring him back, how much different it will be next year than it was this year.
And it was, let's face it, wasn't it kind of miserable to just...
After week two, the season wasn't any fun.
It was a drip.
Yep, even the wins wet were blanket. Just like, yeah, but it was against the Giants.
So true.
And yeah, the defense had to save them, but man, that offense has issues.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a feel-good win. The Bills one was pretty good.
Week six, that was it?
Yep, that was it. But after week two, after that Miami game... Every game was kind of like, yeah.
If the Bills had a competent quarterback, they would have won that game, though. I mean, Allen missed two guys in the end zone
that
were wide open.
But my point was, going back to maybe him going to Tennessee, was I always thought, like, Tom's not going to go somewhere where he doesn't feel like the head coach isn't, like, at least competent and knows what the hell he's doing and gives him a chance to win. You just see so many head coaches lose games either by not being able to establish a good culture,
yeah,
but other than that, it's maybe just doesn't know how to game plan and doesn't know how to make in-game adjustments either. So, but I'll tell you, I think maybe Vrabes doing what he did coming up here
was awesome.
He's
like, I love Mike Vrabel.
He's doing push-ups before the game.
Those were half-assed push-ups, by the way.
They were half-assed. I mean, seriously, you're gonna start doing planks.
I could just see Ted Johnson
really.
What are you doing? Push-ups watching TV. What are you doing?
Do some squats, Mister.
No, they were half-assed push-ups. They were like,
you're
baby
cheating
push-ups.
Those reps,
they weren't ready.
They were baby push-ups.
It was like the camera's on. I'll just kind of make them look good, and then the planks. I'm like. It reminded me of a time.
See, I can plank. I can do planks.
I know.
And I'm fat.
But like, an hour before the game, it's almost like, I'll never forget Chris Slade one time. I was in my playbook before my first start ever as a rookie. I started as a rookie. And I'm in my playbook 5 minutes before the game. He goes, it's too late now, Rook. You know, like, you're looking at your playbook now. Like, if you ain't got it by now, you ain't ever going to get it. You just doing planks right before the game. If you ain't got it now, Vrabes, you ain't ever going to get it. So, I mean, I thought it was a little half-hearted effort by him. But nonetheless.
But the one thing you learned about him is that he's got balls.
He's got some balls.
And he does his homework.
He's always.
Like, that thing with the Jets move was just
genius.
Awesome.
It was genius. And my point is, like, if I'm Tom, I'm looking at Vrabes a little different. I was looking at Vrabes one way before the season.
Yeah.
I'm looking at him different.
Yes.
And so if I'm Tom, I'm looking to go somewhere where I feel like I have a coach who is got a high football acumen, who knows what the hell he's doing, who isn't going to crap down his leg, you know, when the chips are on the line. And Mike Vrabel, to me, checked that box off this year. We'll see how he does against Kansas City. But the point is, he proved something to me in that game.
He also ran a team that turned Ryan Tannehill into Joe Montana for the second half of the season.
How about that?
I mean, so if you're a quarterback and you're looking at that, you're like, okay, well, they obviously put a turd in the ideal situation to succeed. And Tom Brady's sitting there going, use a little of that right now.
That's right. Now, and it's, you know, can Giselle, is she okay with him going? Like, we all.
Nashville's kind of a glamorous town. Believe it or not, like, Nashville's kind of a fun town. I can see Giselle.
Well, not compared to Providence.
No, of course, not compared to Providence. Nothing is. But I mean, and also, it's one of those things where if it's just for a couple of years, which it will be, I mean, listen, that stuff happens. You commute or whatever you want to do.
What'd you guys think of Tennessee huddling up on the logo before the game? That is so old school Colorado versus OU. Kind of meeting that midfield.
What'd you think?
I was like, you better win the game. Yeah. You better win the game,
Braves. But when you back it up, it's awesome.
Oh, it's the best.
Well, that's the Bosa's when every time they play Mayfield. I mean,
they do the flag.
They don't forget that. All right. Ted Johnson in studio. We'll continue to talk to him. And then at 8 o'clock, we have Brookline 911. We will be back here at the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, our show. This station, the Boston Bruins, present Pucks and Paddles Friday, January 17th at Royale. The annual ping pong tournament that benefits the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Bid to play with your favorite Bruins player or Rich or I. To bid, go to 985thesportshub.com. Pucks and Paddles is presented by Coors Light and sponsored by Honda. ACP Facility Services and Clear Path for Veterans of New England. Ted Johnson in studio right now, so let's talk about Josh McDaniels. I find it hysterical that Josh McDaniels had set up all these interviews, and teams were just like, oh, never mind. We're going to hire a special teams coach.
Which is a step down from last year where he actually got in the front door to interview, and they said no. That's now he can't get in the front door to interview before they go somewhere else.
I thought it was interesting that that there was a report out there that it was announced that he was, before the Tennessee game, that he was scheduling his interviews for this coming Friday. Last week, that came out. I'm like, why are you announcing that?
Right.
I just thought that was weird, kind of like, why are you telling everybody that in 10 days you're going to be taking interviews? Meanwhile, that gives all your competition a chance to make sure you get in there and get some FaceTime with XYZ team first to maybe, leave a very lasting impression. And, I just thought that was a little bit arrogant to say, well, this is when I'm going to be, 10 days before. All right. I wouldn't be giving out my game plan if I'm looking for jobs to anybody else. So I just thought that was kind of a weird thing to want to put out there, is when you're telling everybody when you were taking all of your interviews. But that has to be kind of a hard pill to swallow, seeing two jobs that you had interviews lined up for snagged like that. And to guys that were very unproven. Joe Judge?
Yeah, because,
are you kidding me?
All right, so
Matt Rhule from Baylor?
Everyone wanted the guy from Baylor, but
let's see what he got paid. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. Let's talk about Joe Judge. Is that Jim Harbaugh was a special teams coach.
John Harbaugh, yep.
John Harbaugh. I'm sorry, I get the two confused. John Harbaugh was a special teams coach. Belichick earlier this year said that special team coaches were uniquely qualified to be head coaches. Do you see that?
Believe it or not, I do. I know that sounds crazy to think, like, why would a special teams coach maybe be more qualified than, say, an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator? I think hiring the defensive offensive coordinator guy is so overrated. I get that's why you do that. I get it's kind of like, well, that's the highest, level of the job, underneath the head coach. I get it, but it's very difficult. Competent, good, respected, high character kind of special team coaches are very much valued on a football team. I had a really good one in Brad Seeley. Brad Seeley, who's now the special teams coach for the Houston Texans. I could see Brad Seeley being a head coach in this league. He has probably no desire to do that, but it's a very difficult job. You're dealing with a lot of different personalities. You have to motivate. You have to coach hard. There's a lot of moving parts. It's not as easy as I think people think. And so if you're a very good, competent, well-respected, where you can get guys that don't want to play on your unit to buy in and get them motivated, I think that says something about the quality of your coaching. And so I'm not that surprised that special teams coaches would be considered as head coaches, because it's a lot. There's a lot for that job entails, a lot more than what people think.
All right. So has Josh McDaniels screwed himself? Because I have for a while now said,
Ever since turning down the Colts job, you mean?
But even before that. Yeah. I'm like, there's 32 jobs. I mean, you got to at some point
very
pull
picky,
the trigger.
Buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, too picky.
So the two knocks against Josh McDaniels are what? He's 11-17 in his career as a head coach with Denver, and he basically left the Colts at the altar.
Yeah, right.
Those are his two big blemishes.
Seems to me like other teams have decided that enough's enough, and those two things are bad enough.
And then I think
not to go near him.
You're right, John. And I think maybe the third is just his reluctance to take other jobs besides the coach jobs.
I completely agree with that. If I was a team, I wouldn't take them. I mean, what do you want? Like, you're so special. I always thought that. I'm like, why are you not taking any of these jobs? Wait, what do you want? A Super Bowl team to, have a coach retire and you could come in?
I couldn't agree more with you, Freddie. And I think part of it, too, is if you're a team, my feeling is Josh McDaniels probably feels like he has got enough clout, pelts on the wall or whatever, to not only come in as the head coach, but ask for the whole thing.
Right.
Ask for the power to hire and fire, general manager jobs, pick the general manager, personnel decisions. And that's my guess, you guys.
The guy who took Tebow in the first
I was just going to say, he has one major black mark on that resume.
Well, that's not a black mark. You know what?
We forgot that. A,
someone wiped his ass with that.
I would want to know, and it's always, I've always kind of, just as a side note to Tim Tebow, he has an affinity for outside the box kind of quarterback play too. I mean, he's, you know, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. Reportedly, he had a fondness for those two guys.
He wanted Lamar Jackson bad. Yeah. Now, is that story true? He told Baker Mayfield that he was going to trade up to get him. I don't know.
Well, then that's an idiot move too.
my feeling is that there is something to the Patriots wanting though Baker Mayfield, whether or not they're traded up. I think there was something there. My agent is also Baker Mayfield's agent.
Oh,
so,
hey.
All right. Jack Mills is, there's something to that. There's something to that. So
it shows their inability now to judge talent, just as it been in the draft, that they wanted Baker Mayfield, that load of crap.
If he doesn't take this job, Freddie.
I don't know if he's going to get off
I don't
this
know if
job.
They've interviewed, I think, the Cleveland Browns in the last week, 235 people.
Yes.
Like Bieniemy.
Saying before, they can take their time. There's no other opening. So they can interview as many people as they want. It could be 400.
This is my favorite, though. But did you hear the latest report out of Cleveland is that they are going to decide on a head coach by this Saturday.
Okay.
That's the report.
So they interviewed everyone else, and McDaniels will be
right,
last.
For no reason, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
For no reason. There's no reason at all that they would have to wait that long, but nonetheless, yeah. So you think he gets the Cleveland job? Or do you think he takes the Cleveland job if he gets offered it?
I think you do. I think you got it, even though it's you have a, let's face it, a bozo for an owner.
The owner who does not care about that team at all, who spends no time in Cleveland.
Which I don't know if I'd have that big a problem with. You know, it's like, get out of my
way.
He
just fires people, kind of willy-nilly. He just kind of goes around firing people.
What, five coaches in the last 8 years?
And
I mean, is that
GMs
a lot?
Too,
that's even right.
Look at some of the coaches. I mean, honest to God. Well, that's Jackson his fault. And Freddie Kitchens.
Well,
and
that's why he hired him.
But McDaniels, in theory, is better than all of those guys. I mean, look.
I don't know if McDaniels is better than Hugh Jackson coming in with his resume.
Freddie, you're better than Hugh Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you watch Hard Knocks? I gotta believe.
I know he was a crappy coach. I'm questioning the idea of him around the league before he got hired.
Fair enough. But Josh McDaniels, he has family there. He'll get a chance to, you know, bring his own GM in if it's Casero. There are too many dots that connect. If he is offered the job, he will take it.
That he has to have family there. That he's, what is he, two?
Well,
that's
family was a big problem why he didn't take the Indianapolis job, right?
That's right.
According to some.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they said. Our contract was up a little over a year ago. I would have gone anywhere.
I understand.
I'm Josh, I'm taking this job now because I'm just worried about right here. I mean, there are signs and evidence that this thing is starting to, you know, maybe be the turning point in an organization that is going to maybe have to take two steps back to go a step forward.
So you think even if Brady comes back next year, this whole winning thing is temporarily over?
I would be very, very concerned, yes, that just the foundation has been cracked with the kind of – if Tom comes back – okay, but you there's the aging defense. What are you getting on? You know, where are your players on offense? The believe it or not, you have two teams in the division that arrows are pointing up in Miami and Buffalo, and there's just been a mass exodus of coaches. Something is going on. The front office, Nick Caserio, who's been a pillar here for 20 years. Yeah,
you left the Jets out. I see.
Okay, sorry, Freddie.
There's only one of those teams with a quarterback. All right. Well, listen,
I like that. Two arrows pointing up: Miami and Buffalo.
Well, Buffalo's never going to win anything. Buffalo's not going to win that division with Josh Allen.
That's a fair point. But you have to admit they're well coached.
Oh, they're very well coached. Yeah. They're a very disciplined team. It's just that they have an idiot at quarterback. I mean, they should have beat the Patriots by a couple touchdowns.
I love that pitchback he had. Did you see that in the Texas game?
Oh, my God. You call that a pitchback?
What was that?
I don't
know. It was like
he threw the ball in the air.
He lost his freaking mind.
He lost his mind. And that was after he fumbled and they were giving, what's his face, the linebacker from Tennessee, they were giving him all the credit. and he just got he got wrapped up and just and then he threw the ball.
Threw the ball away. Yeah.
I mean, boy, is he dumb.
That was a dumb play.
He made several. He missed in the Patriots game. He had two guys wide open in the end zone.
He was drafted for his arm, and he runs much better than he throws.
He started his senior year in high school and had to go to Wyoming, and he had to send out like at his size and with his arm strength. He had to send out like 100 tapes.
He never in his life has had a completion percentage of better than 60%. I haven't looked it up this year. But all the way back through when he was a JV quarterback in high school.
Imagine if they had Fitzpatrick and or just McGown or some veteran quarterback. They would have, I mean, they could have won that division. All right. Well, we will be back with Ted Johnson and then Brookline 911 coming up.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Ace.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
I want to get Ted's opinion on something real quick. At the end of the show yesterday, we were going over some of the new proposed rules that the XFL is throwing out there.
I heard some of these, yes.
Yeah, the double forward pass is fairly interesting. I do like the...
I'm trying to think of how would you come up with a playbook for those that little wrinkle? I don't know how many times you would try it. I'd love to see what just... from an aesthetic standpoint, what does that look like? That'd be fun to see.
Let's say you've got like one of these guys who plays receiver, like an Edelman type guy who's also played quarterback before, and you know, you just do the boop and then another one downfield.
It can't be two forward passes. It has to be a backwards pass, and then you can throw it.
You can do a forward pass, but the first one has to be behind the line of scrimmage, and the second one, like you can get in the shotgun and throw it to someone behind the line of scrimmage, and then that player can throw it to somebody downfield.
Gotcha.
Well, they can run past the line of scrimmage and throw it to someone downfield.
Can you do that? Or does the second throw have to be behind the line of scrimmage?
Well, no. In the NFL, you can throw behind the line of scrimmage.
But I mean, it has to be
backwards. No, I'm talking the second throw.
The second throw in the NFL, you could throw behind the line of scrimmage.
Only backwards.
No. No. Then how does Edelman throw?
Well, Edelman throws because
the first throw is a lateral.
That's
how it works.
Yeah. Right, and then I can throw
they're saying
from
two
behind.
Forward throws.
Yeah, you can have two forward throws on the same play in
you
the
XFL. You
can't
do two forward throws.
But you can run through the you can run past the line of scrimmage and throw.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
In the XFL, you can.
Yeah. In the XFL, I don't know if you can. I don't think you can.
The XFL, I do believe you can. I think that's the point.
I believe me, I know the NFL rules. I'm not that dumb. No, I think in the XFL, you can throw behind the line of scrimmage, then you can run past the line of scrimmage and throw.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. I was confused because the first throw has to be behind the line of scrimmage.
I'm almost 45. Yeah. You realize that I've seen a game of football.
The way you were saying it, it sounded weird. I think it was phrased oddly the way you were saying it.
I'm no pro, but I played in high school. I mean, I'm somewhat aware of the rules.
You're the Ernie of this show.
That's
Ernie Adams.
That's right.
But another cool thing that was thrown out there yesterday that I found really interesting was that all offensive skill position players, quarterback, wide receivers, tight end, running backs, they're going to have a coach-to-player helmet receiver, which all of the broadcast partners will be able to have access to during the game.
More access.
So you're going to get to hear the coaches, what they're saying to the quarterbacks and what they're saying to the wide receivers in their headsets.
Love it.
It's almost like, you know, in NASCAR when you get to hear the pit crew guy talking to the dude. Yep. I mean, this is going to be... that would be interesting. But I said yesterday, even with all these little bells and whistles and things they put in there, the league's going to fail unless you have stars. And I just thought of something that, I mean, it may not happen. But if you're the XFL and you want to be the biggest story in sports, do you remember like when satellite radio came out and it was like, all right, who's going to do that? And then they just came out and gave Howard Stern $1 zillion to jump ship. What if they came out? And on Super Bowl week, or I guess you couldn't do it Super Bowl week, you'd have to wait till May when the free agency was, they announced that they were signing Tom Brady and Drew Brees to play in the XFL. They give them $150 million for 3 years to be the faces of the organization, and boom, your league has been officially launched.
And it's instant credibility. And
yes.
And then in 10 years, there's a 30 for 30 for how you lost right. all money in the first year.
Yeah. How you lost $300 million. You lost your entire budget. By the way, good luck for a league that would you have played in the XFL at past the age of 24 for $35,000?
No.
There's no way.
No. But there's a lot of guys that will, obviously, because they'll think it's a chance for them to go on and play in the NFL.
Well, I mean, you got to move. It's going to disrupt your whole career or whatever you're planning to do as a career, and you're opening yourself up for injury. It's just.
But I'm amazed at how many guys. I know guys that play on these like local semi-pro teams.
Right.
That are in their mid-30s, you know? And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, they just love football. I mean, I love football, but my gosh, I want to be highly, you know, compensated for it because of the risk.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle, they, you know.
I can't imagine the kind of player that's going to play for $35,000.
It's going to fail. And
it's
we learned
that. Fail, yes.
I mean, if you don't have stars, and that's why, come out big. Like, spend a ton of money off the top. I mean, we don't know that. It's
I know that.
How much is WWE worth? Isn't that worth like billions of dollars?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that your cost base that you're.
Well, sometimes you have to invest money to get money, and in this case, they're just going to be wasting money.
Well, first of all, Brady would never do it, and Breeze would never do it because it ruins your legacy.
How does it ruin your legacy?
Because you finished in a joke league. I mean, you finished in a wrestling league.
But you cashed out. You made twice as much money as the most money you could make.
That's right, something you do when you're 22. I remember Doug Flutie, after he came out of college, went to the USFL.
Well, that was supposed to be a viable alternative. But they had a good system
but
in
that's
place.
But that's the point. The XFL is not that.
Right.
And so,
there's one thing that the XFL did early on that I thought maybe... Because I thought it was a very smart hire by Vince McMahon. Do you know who he hired as the commissioner?
Yeah, Andrew Luck's father.
And Oliver Luck, everything he's touched has really turned to gold. He's a very, very bright guy. So I'm thinking if Oliver Luck is involved, I can't see it failing, but it'll fail.
It's going to fail. Without stars, fail. It will fail.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Landry Jones is your biggest quarterback star.
Nobody
it will
cares.
Definitely fail.
Nobody cares. Yeah, I mean, with names like that, no one's going
to
watch it.
Ted Johnson has been brought to you this morning by Boston Prolotherapy. Do what Ted did and receive a short course of injections to help repair painful damaged joints without surgery. Online at bostonprolotherapy.com. Ted Johnson, always a pleasure, sir.
Pleasure, boys.
Good to see you.
See you. I'll see you around campus.
That's right.
No commercials here, just the headlines. We'll be back with Brookline 911.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.